The following podcast is brought to you by Mr. Fuji's Daycare. A kind heart can go a long way.
Back to Pokemon World Tour. I'm your host, Jake.
And I'm your guy, Josh.
And today, we're on the road to Cinnabar Island.
There's a lot of cities. It's too many for you to do that every time.
I think we're going to find out if that's true or not.
I think you're right.
I'm very excited about Cinnabar Island, because it's real weird, right? There's some weird. There's a couple weird things on it.
There's some weird stuff.
There's some weird stuff surrounding this one island. And we're going to talk about all that and more, but first, it's time for some pretty big Pokemon news. Josh.
Jake.
We got some big news, as I alluded to before the music.
We do.
What is that big news?
Last week, 7+ Pokemon came out.
What do you mean 7+?
We also got names for the Rock Dog and the...
Okay.
Log Koala. Which is not what I called it, which was Narcoala, because he's so sleepy.
I like that name.
Let's talk about him first while we're here.
Okay.
So his name is Kamala, as in the Ugandan giant. Except with the O, K-O-M.
Komala.
Komala.
I like Narcoala better, but I feel like people would think narcotics.
Yeah.
And not narcolepsy. So there's a fine line that they needed to draw, and unfortunately...
I just don't know why they named him after a wrestler who pinned stuff...
Upside down?
Who pinned people upside down, because he,
not
like...
Cameron. Yeah, da-da-da-da-da.
Anyway, he is the drowsing Pokemon.
Hold on, is that a word?
It is a category of Pokemon now.
One of them... Not to get the cart in front of the horse, but there is a Pokemon that we will talk about today... was maybe the dumbest category that I've ever seen. But I haven't seen all of them, so there might be dumber.
I'm sure there are. Some of the categories are just real dumb.
That's a little teaser for later.
Drowsing is a made-up word. It's almost like dowsing. So he seeks out sleep. He's drowsing.
He's drowsing. I like that.
It's a normal type. It is 1'4", weighs 43.9 pounds. I don't know.
I don't think we need to go over their height and their weight and
I'm
everything.
I'm just doing it's all right here. I'm just reading down the list.
Okay.
But I don't know if his weight is just him or him and his little log buddy.
Yeah, how much is his little log? He's got a little log pillow with him. It's adorable.
He does have a new ability called Comatose.
That doesn't sound good.
Keeps it perpetually in a drowsing state, which prevents it from getting any other status conditions.
He cannot be statused?
He can't be statused. But I guess he falls asleep on his own?
Sometimes he just takes a nap?
If a drowsing state is like a Pokemon used Yawn on you, so you're going to fall asleep the next turn.
Right.
If he comes out that way, but then just like slap a Lumberry on him, he'll wake up when he eats it.
Yeah, that's gonna do some weird stuff on the competitive scene, I bet.
I'm curious to see what he evolves into and what happens with this little log he has. Anyway,
moving on.
We have what I'm gonna go ahead and call your brother's new favorite Pokemon. Okay. Rockruff.
Rockruff.
Is the Rock Dog's name.
Also one of my new favorite Pokemon. He is adorbs.
His category is just the puppy Pokemon.
Yeah, duh,
He's
love
just
him.
A little puppy. He's a rock type, solid rock type. You don't want to do heights and weights.
Nah, we can skip all that stuff.
His abilities will be Keen Eye and Vital Spirit. There's nothing new there. Keen Eye prevents him from losing accuracy, and Vital Spirit prevents him from falling asleep.
Right.
All right, so now, 7 brand new Pokemon.
Brand new. Hot off the presses.
I'm going to go through them in the order that they're on this page, but I'm going to do one specific one last because it's a legendary.
Okay.
So we're going to start with my new favorite bug Pokemon, maybe?
If it's the same as mine, that's probably my new favorite Pokemon? Not favorite Pokemon, but like definitely cracked the top 5.
It's Charjabug.
Oh, that's not it.
That's not it?
I was talking about the other one.
The one he evolves into?
No. Anyway. Charjabug
is a green little bus Pokemon.
He's a little bread boy. He's a little bread bus
His
boy.
His eyes are a windshield.
Look, I understand that everyone thinks he looks like a bus.
His feet are where the tires would go.
Okay, so maybe he's a bus. But he definitely is also a bread Pokemon. He's a little bread boy.
He is. He's segmented exactly like a loaf of bread.
There's no way he doesn't.
But he's got these little circles on his sides that are like windows. It's like they try to just make him a bus.
He's a bus. He evolves from Grubbin.
He does.
That's not confirmed, but there's no way he does.
He does. It was confirmed in the English trailer.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Okay.
So they leaked on Thursday.
Yeah.
Because the new information was supposed to come out Friday. They leaked on Thursday, so Nintendo Japan just put the video out Thursday.
Right.
And it did not mention him evolving in that, unless it did in text, which I couldn't read.
I couldn't read.
Then the English one came out Friday like it was supposed to and said that it evolves from Grubbin and then into Vikavolt, who we'll talk about in a minute. But it's the battery Pokemon.
Okay.
Its ability is battery.
Is that new?
It's new. And it just says it allows it to raise the power of allies' special moves. So it just, like, boosts. It doesn't say special attack, so I think it boosts the base power of special moves in battle.
But only if you're in, like, a double or a triple battle.
That's what it looks like.
It's very specific in if you want to get your money's worth out of his ability.
So he evolves from Grubbin, and then he evolves into Vikavolt, which is just like, oh, man, how do I describe this thing? It's like a stealth fighter beetle with a taser on its face.
Yeah, it's definitely a Beetleborgs if Beetleborgs have vehicles.
It's like a Gundam jet.
Yeah.
This dude is on my team. He's coming with me.
For real?
Yeah. He's a stag beetle Pokemon. He has the ability to levitate, so he is part electric, but he can't be hit with ground moves because he has levitate.
So he's invincible.
Well, he's also part bug, so he can still take damage from like fire.
Fire and grass and whatever.
The other bug ones.
Ice? I think grass. I don't know. Are they like a giant nerd to you guys?
Fighting?
I probably do.
I honestly don't know.
I think they're strong against psychic.
Yeah.
That's all I got on bug.
They're weak to fire.
They don't like fire, and they do like psychics.
That's all I got, too.
Anyway, he looks very cool.
He does.
That's kind of the theme of these Pokemon. Not necessarily they look cool, but they look interesting.
Yeah. I'm not totally sold on this guy, but next we have Togedemaru, who is this generation's electric rodent, not Pikachu.
Oh, yeah. He's got, like, flaps.
Yeah, he's a fat little hedgehog, and these, what look like a pattern on his back, actually flip out into spikes, I guess.
I like that.
He's a roly-poly Pokemon. He's electric steel type, and he gets iron barbs or a lightning rod for his ability.
That's an adorable name, though, or category.
Roly-poly Pokemon. He's a roly-poly Pokemon. All right, so next we got some drama with Drampa.
Oh, your Grandpa Dragon.
Grandpa Dragon.
Grandpa Drampa.
How would you describe Drampa? What does thing look like?
I would describe him as...
as Puff the Magic Dragon?
Literally Falcor from The NeverEnding Story.
Well, not literally. Because Falcor didn't have that weird bendy neck.
No, okay, so if the Loch Ness Monster and Falcor from The NeverEnding Story loved each other very much...
Yes, they would...
And they were brought to a daycare and left in the pen.
And the stork brought them a baby.
Then an egg would show up, and it would be your Grandpa Drampa.
He's the placid Pokemon.
So he's just chill. He's right. He's all
just
right.
Like, yeah, whatever, man.
He's like,
just getting some air, man.
Just getting some air, man.
He's a normal dragon, which is I don't think ever happened before.
That's such a weird sentence. This is a normal dragon. It's just like a regular dragon. You think you would just call that a dragon?
He's a lot bigger than I thought.
How big is he?
He's 9'10".
He didn't look that big.
I thought he was like waist high.
I thought he was like a weird little guy.
4 feet.
No, he's huge.
No, he's a giant. Unless that's like if you stretch his neck out.
Right, he's all bendy, so he's only like 6 feet long. But if you stretch him all the way out.
He gets the abilities Berserk and Sap Sipper. Sap Sipper is not new, but Berserk is.
Sap Sipper is real specific.
You gain HP when hit with grass move.
Yeah.
Yep. Berserk, with the Berserk ability, this Pokemon's special attack will go up by one when its HP drops below half. So its special attack raises a stage when it gets to half health.
See, he's a chill Pokemon, but he's got a Berserk ability.
He's a chill Pokemon, but like if you beat him up...
Don't make him mad.
He gets mad.
Don't make your grandpa mad.
All right. I'm going to save the best for last. So now let's talk about Bruxish.
Brux? Which is that one? Okay.
It's that fish.
It's that bitey kissy fish.
Yep. I was going to originally name it Gaga, but it's just so truly outrageous that I think I'm going to name it Gem. I probably won't actually use it.
Oh, you got to catch one because you got to catch
them all. But I got to catch them all. It's the Gnash Teeth Pokemon.
That's a gross one.
Gets the abilities Dazzling and Strong Jaw.
Are those new?
Dazzling is new. Prevents opponents from using priority moves that normally strike first.
Quick Attack's out.
Quick Attack. You can't even use it if I'm reading this right. Quick Attack, Extreme Speed, they'll fail.
Dang.
Which is...
This is a Water Psychic, right?
He is, or she, Water Psychic. Yep.
Okay.
Psychic's a weird type for that.
Yeah, unless that's how it's making you weird.
Right.
It's like, ooh. And you're like, I've been bedazzled.
It's weird because dazzling and dazzling and glitter and stuff like that is usually associated with fairy types. So I guess I just assumed this was a water fairy.
Nope.
But it's a psychic.
It knows what you're thinking, you dirty bird.
So depending on what its stats look like, that could also drastically change the metagame.
Yeah.
Let's talk about everybody's new favorite Pokemon.
Number one, top of Coolin World.
Cutiefly.
Cutiefly, such a good Pokemon.
The B-Fly Pokemon, it's a bug fairy. It gets Honey Gather and Shield Dust, neither of which are new. Shield Dust does something. I can't remember, actually, what it does.
I don't know. I never knew.
Honey Gather just has a random chance of picking up honey.
Sometimes you just have honey
Sometimes
for
you. Sometimes you get a honey.
What a Cutiefly.
Little Cutiefly looking out for you. He's like, here's some honey.
I got you some honey.
It's a B-Fly. It's almost literally a B-Fly.
Yeah.
If you look up B-Fly.
It's very close. It's got some little fairy wings, but other than that, it's pretty much exactly a B-Fly. I'm going to name it Snidget, and it's going to be my best friend, and we're going on adventures together. I hope it's good. I hope it's a good Pokemon.
I might name it Snitch. It reminds me of the Golden Snitch.
Well, that's why I'm naming it Snidget, because that's in... let me push my glasses up.
Oh, here we go.
In the Harry Potter lure. the Snitch is based on this fat bird called the Snidget.
Oh, okay.
Which is... they sent them out before they made a Snitch.
Right.
So that's why I'm going to call it that.
And then finally, we have our third. I'm counting Lunala and Solgaleo as one, but that's two Pokemon.
For
we have
sure.
our third legendary Pokemon, Tapu Koko.
Topokaku. Tokusatsu.
He is the land spirit Pokemon, is an electric fairy.
He's a land spirit, but he's an electric fairy.
We'll talk about that in a sec. He gets the ability Electric Surge, which is new. Oh, it turns the terrain turns the field into electric terrain.
What's that mean?
Powers up electric type moves for any Pokemon touching the ground and prevents any Pokemon from falling asleep. He also gets a new move called Nature's Madness, which slams into an opponent and reduces that Pokemon's HP by half.
Again, though, why is the land spirit an electric Pokemon?
The only reason I can think of is... Well, there's two. One, Pokemon don't care.
That's true.
Two is that it's part of a quartet, because they specifically said in the trailer that it was the guardian of the first island.
Whatever. Right.
I can't remember what the name of it was.
Mele Mele
Island. So this is the guardian of that one, which means the other three natural islands also probably have a guardian.
Right.
So maybe they're all land spirits? They're spirits of the land.
Not necessarily the land.
Not ground.
Dirt, but the yeah. land is in this land.
And then this just happens to be the electric one.
Okay.
That's my guess.
I hope that's true, because I like that.
I'm pretty sure...
You got Gullah Gullah Island.
Obviously. Legendary Pokemon Binya.
You got Allegra's Window Island. I'm running out of... I fell apart.
And Gilligan's Island.
It takes 3 hours to get there. It's only a three-hour tour.
So he looks pretty cool. He's got a weird mohawk coming off of his head. He's got these skinny little arms with these big shells on the end, and he can close the shells over him to make kind of like a tiki mask.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
I'm hoping that if there are four of them, I think that they all are just different variations of this kind of theme.
They're all very similar. Yeah. I would also like that,
because it does say down at the bottom of his page on the website here that he does have an open and closed, form.
Right.
But it doesn't say how he will switch between them, and it's not his ability unless he has another ability.
No idea.
Or a move. There probably is just a move that he closes up.
Right.
To...
Shut face. And you shut your face.
But I'm very excited, because this is kind of like a bird mask, and I'm very excited to see what the other masks look like.
I also am very... I love modes. I love variations on a theme. I love anything like that. So the fact that this is the first of a group of four similar things, I'm very excited about. some of my favorite things about Pokemon is every generation there's like, here's three of this one thing.
Right. Here's Deoxys. He has a different form for each stat.
Except I hate Deoxys. Other than that, I wish I like, I should, on paper, I should love Deoxys.
You should.
That dude sucks. I just don't like him.
That's fair. I like him fine. I like him nice.
You like him nice?
All right, that's all the news. I don't know. I don't think anything else new has come out.
A little bit about stuff about Pokemon Go, but it's here's the news. It's like a Pokemon game if Pokemon was ashamed of Pokemon.
They sat down, they were like, hey, let's make this as much not a Pokemon game as we can.
Someone with a vision made
a
Pokemon game.
And then a group of people said, yes.
Yes, let's do that. So I'm definitely not getting Pokemon Go right away if it's very fun.
I have to get it for work.
Right.
And I already pre-ordered the
bracelet.
There
you go. So. You're locked in.
All right, enough about that, though. We'll talk about that when it comes out. I think we're done talking about Pokemon Go until I've played it.
Yeah, if it's very fun, let me know, and I'll probably pick it up.
I think, if anything, it'll get me into the city, and like maybe I'll meet some other people that way.
Right.
That's all I'm hoping for from it at this point.
I haven't... It's only in beta, so all the stuff I've heard isn't about people like meeting new friends.
Yeah, well, the field test ended last week.
So, I listened to this Nintendo podcast called Nintendo Voice Chat from IGN, and they, like, four of them, of the people who work at IGN who aren't necessarily on the show all the time, like, they just got into it. So they were there, they did, like, the last, like, week of it or something like that.
Yeah.
And they said, like, it was fun, but there's a lot that's weird and a lot that's frustrating about it. But, like, again, field tests, that's what these are for.
Right.
So hopefully some of those are
But, like, they want it out this month.
Well, they're going to run then.
Because Go Plus comes out, I think, the 30th or 31st or something, and they want it out before that.
Emergency broadcast. Wouldn't you know it, our curse continues. As soon as we say, well, that's all the news, they turn around and they put out some more news. Pokemon Go, it's out today for Android. Alan has it. Other people have it. Playing Pokemon Go. Even though we just said we don't know when it's coming out. They just sprung it on. Who does that? Who does this? Sign up for iOS. Let me know if it's good. Thanks. Back to the program.
Anyway, on to tonight's main event, Cinnabar Island.
Welcome to Cinnabar Island, the fiery town of burning desire.
Also known as the ravaged town of the past?
Yep.
Is that right or wrong? That was right?
We'll talk about that.
That's a little bit of a spoiler, but
we'll talk about that more somber slogan a little bit later.
Do we
want
to throw up the spoiler tag now?
Is the last one closed? Probably not. We'll throw up a new one.
Okay.
Wait.
There's like a little bit of spoilers, sort of.
Wonderful.
From the outside, there's not a lot to talk about. All of Cinnabar Island's interesting stuff is inside. But from the outside, it's just a tiny little island. It has like 5 buildings on it. None of them are homes.
No one lives here.
No, someone used to live here. We'll talk about that. But nobody lives here anymore. They just work here, I guess. Unless gym leaders live in their gyms, which I think is kind of implied.
It's like an Ernie situation. They got like a little apartment out back.
So the top half of the island has the gym on the east and the old abandoned mansion on the west. The bottom half has the large lab in the west, and in the middle is a Pokemart and a Pokemon Center. And that's all the buildings. There's no plants. There's just like a little bit of grass that comes down from the northeast corner.
Yeah.
And that's what the island looks like.
Yeah, so that's really weird. There is one other key feature outside. There's like a real nice beach.
I mean,
that we'll talk about.
There's like a shoreline.
Yeah, I guess it's implied to be a beach, but like, we might talk about that a little bit later.
Maybe. I don't have any notes on it, but like, I could talk about it.
Yeah, like, come on. Come on, Josh.
I don't have any notes. It can't come in the episode. So, population. In Gen 1, there's 33 people. In Gen 2, so here come the spoilers, there are 6.
Yeah, oops.
Gen 3, there's 36, and Gen 4, there's 9. So here's what happens.
What? That's a huge difference.
Gen 3 and Gen 4, I think we've talked about this, at least in our timeline, overwrite Gen 1 and Gen 2. So
yes.
Gen 1 and Gen 2 are their own timeline, separate from everything that happens.
They are the
from
kid
Gen
timeline. This is the adult timeline.
Right. So there's a couple more people. But this island is on top of a volcano.
Sure.
Which apparently was active, and it erupted. So between the time from Gen 1 and 3 to Gen 2 and 4, the volcano erupted and basically eliminated Cinnabar Island, the town.
Yeah.
And now it's just a rock with a Pokemon Center on it, which they had to rebuild because it's in a different place.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I hope everybody made it out in time. I hope, like, there was enough warning from, like, rumbling.
So. Yeah, it wasn't just like, oops, dead. I mean, at least one person made it out and then made it back, right? Because of the gym leader.
Well, yeah, he doesn't go back, though. His gym is now in the Seafoam Islands after that.
Oh, you're right. I keep thinking it's on, like, the side of...
No, he's just sad in a cave.
So he got out. Is he the only one that got out?
He's the only one we see, unless it's the same Nurse Joy.
I mean, who could tell?
Like, I'm sure they can, but that's it.
Right. And Jenny's. At least that's United Canon.
But if you look at the maps, the Gen 2 map and the Gen 4 map, there's a crater, and in Gold and Silver, it's like a lake. It's filled in with water. But it's right where the gym was. So it looks like the gym was on the mouth of the volcano.
So it blew up from under the gym.
And then just kind of erupted, and the magma went down and settled, because there's a little bit of the original island in the lower west corner.
Right.
But it's just like a rock from there.
Yeah. That's crazy. What'd you guys do?
What happened? Did you make Tapu Koko mad?
Did you get a Groudon to just be weird over there?
You erupted your island? All right, we want to talk about some of the places, some of the weird places.
Yeah.
So this Pokemon Lab, which is the second lab, second and a half, if you count the Pewter City Museum, there's like half a lab in there.
So the first one is the Pallet Town Lab.
It's Oak's Research Lab.
Okay.
And now there's the Cinnabar Island Pokemon Lab, which is considerably larger.
What is it researching?
Well, it was founded by Dr. Fuji. It doesn't actually say what he...
Is that Dr. Fuji the same as Mr. Fuji?
He was known as a doctor when he was younger, is all the information I could gather. I'm guessing he just retired, and now he's a Mr. Fuji.
I feel like we got an email about this a while ago.
And according to a report found while you're, you know, trying to stop the hostile takeover of the Sylph Company, there is a document in there that says Porygon was created in this lab.
That's weird.
So this is just like a Pokemon science lab. They do weird stuff
here.
This is a weird science. So you walk into the lab, there's a reception area and a hallway that goes down to the right, and there's three rooms that come off the hallway. And in the first room, it's full of more people. I don't know how many are in there, but two people inside will offer you trades. An old man will offer you his Electrode for your Raichu, and there's a girl that will offer you her Tangela for your Venonat. In yellow, the trades are different.
Do the second one, don't do the first one. That's my opinion.
Take the Tangela, but leave the Electrode.
Because, like,
I like Raichu too much to trade it
I like him a lot better than Electrode. Also, that's like an evolved for a not evolved. They had to use a stone on to get.
Right.
No, Electrode is the evolved one.
There's not a glitch, but an oversight or a translation error in Red and Blue. If you trade your Raichu for this Electrode, and then you talk to that old man, he will tell you that your Raichu evolved. As if it were a trade evolution.
That's canon now, right? They should do something.
That's
like
canon in the child's timeline.
Right.
Because that was fixed in the adult timeline.
Okay, all right. But then definitely trade for a Tangela, because you can only get them in like one patch of grass out the Pallet Town, and it's like a pain in the butt. So just trade a freaking Venonat for it.
In the yellow version, they're different trades. The old man offers you a Golduck for your Rhydon, and the girl offers you a Growlithe for your Dewgong. I would make both those trades, because I don't like Rhydon or Dewgong, and I like Golduck and Growlithe.
I don't love Golduck. I love me some Psyduck now. World Tour United is doing a lot to change who I thought my faves were.
I've always really liked Golduck. I've just never used one because he's not great. Like, right. He's good for in-game stuff, but like once you beat the game, you need better Pokemon to do anything.
Right.
In the second room, there is a man who's just fascinated by Metronome. In Gen 1, he'll give you a TM. In Gen 3, he is the move tutor for it.
Sure.
So you can teach it. And the third room is where
that's
magic happens.
That's my favorite move, by the way. Metronome is my favorite, because it's random chance.
Because it's every move.
Yeah, it's every move.
Speaking of random chance, I watched the finals, the semifinals and the finals of the United States Championships.
I wanted to talk about that in news for a second. I forgot. So, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
There were a lot of moments where it was just like, if that did not miss by chance.
Are we talking the cards or the game?
The game. I didn't watch the cards.
Because apparently, I didn't see it. According to Alan, and maybe you can verify this, basically every team was the same.
Pretty much. The final two teams were, there were like two small differences.
That's so dumb. That's so boring.
It is boring.
It's so boring.
Because they were both like, I have Kyogre and Groudon. You know, the primal revert as soon as they come into battle. And so, like, it's just like switching out to try to get the weather in your favor. And like, it was, ugh.
It's so boring. I just fell asleep when we were talking about that.
But there were a lot of cool, like, critical hits that, like, pulled people back from the brink of death. Yeah. And just, like, misses that screwed a couple people sometimes. It was fun to watch. I just wish Pokemon was a game where at high competitive play, the teams could be different.
Yeah, which is crazy that it can't, right? Like, there's so many Pokemon, right. And they're just like, no, these six. And this is after they lifted the legendary ban.
Yeah.
Before, it was even tighter.
Yeah.
But now everyone just uses the same two legendaries, Kyogre and Groudon.
There's different, they were talking about it like, oh, this is a Xerneas Cresselia core team. Like, that's what you base your team around. And all those teams were the same. And
then, yeah. It's got to be a way to design a team specifically designed to destroy most competitive teams, right? Like,
I'm sure.
There's got to, if someone could
there's
just
so
come
many
in,
pieces.
If someone could just like figure it out, they could come in and ruin everyone. And that, like with just garbage Pokemon. That would be my favorite.
And the VGC doesn't have any like weird internet rules like sleep claws. Like if you play on the battle simulators, you can put sleep claws on. So only one Pokemon on your team could be asleep at a time.
Okay.
So that they can't just spam everyone to sleep. But right. That isn't in the VGC. Like, you could put their whole team to sleep. That happened a couple times. They used Dark Void and put everyone to sleep. And that just, like, killed them. It was great.
Yeah, it's got to be a way to do something like that. And if someone ever does that, please let us know, and I would like to interview you about why you're my favorite Pokemon player.
I just think, like, we have so many Pokemon.
Yeah.
So we should hit... I'll say let's hit 1,000. We're pushing that direction anyway.
I don't think we'll hit 1,000 this generation.
Not this one. A couple generations from now.
By 10?
Maybe even by 8. Depends how many new ones come in this time.
That's true, because there weren't a lot in 6, but I feel like they're going to undo that.
They've already introduced 15?
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, more than that, because there's 9 from the starters, technically.
Right.
So there's
9 from the starters. Picky Peck evolves twice, so there's 12 already.
So then there's at least, I would say there's at least 21, 22. So technically announced.
But like, get to 1,000 Pokemon, and then from there out, just work on balancing them so people can use their favorites all the time.
or.
Because I'm actively trying to like Sunflora the Pokemon.
Okay.
And like, he's almost there because he's so dumb and he just loves being
he's
in the sun.
He's so dumb.
But his base speed is only 35, which means he can't do anything except die first in battle. So it's real hard for me to love this thing.
here's another thing we could do, right? Instead of balancing everybody out, just like whoever's running the VGC tournament. I know we're way off track right now. We'll get back to Cinnabar.
We are.
Just
we
a
still
second.
Have the third room of the lab, but we'll get there.
So we'll get back in just a second. So whoever makes the rules should just go through and ban the top 10 Pokemon. Ban Garchomp. Ban all the legendaries again. Ban Mega Evolutions. Ban... Maybe not ban Mega Evolutions, because that could be a weird, like, oh, you did it. Like,
right.
You know, but, like, ban Cresselia and ban, like, all, like, the ones that are, like, everyone has.
Yeah.
And, like, now figure it out, nerds. That'd be chaos.
Because there was one of the final four had, like, Gengar... He was the only team that was different, and he lost. And I was like, God damn it. Because I was rooting for him. I was like, win, weird kid with the Gengar team. You can do it.
Come on, Derek. Get it together.
He didn't do it. He lost to Chase, who ended up winning the championship.
Okay. So. Well, at least he didn't lose to a loser.
Anyway, the third room in the Pokemon lab.
Okay.
This room is where they say the magic happens.
Oh.
This is where you can bring your fossils... have them turned into real-life Pokemon, because, again, this is the weird science lab.
I forgot that is so late in the game.
It's almost the end.
I thought you could do that in the museum, but you can't.
No.
That's bananas.
You can do it in the museum in HeartGold and SoulSilver.
Right.
Because there's no Cinnabar Island anymore.
Right.
But yeah, it's very late, and they only come out level 30, so they come out underleveled for where you are.
Right, by a lot.
Yeah, so you gotta really grind them. There's also a trade in this room. It's a seal for your Ponyta. In yellow, it's a muck for your Kangaskhan. Both of those are bad trades. Don't do them.
Yeah. I mean, like, Alan really likes Seal, or maybe he likes Sfeel, or maybe he likes both.
He might like both. I like Anime Seal, because that is just... Seal? That's just a dumb dog.
He's an idiot. I love it. That's an easy way to make me love you as a Pokemon. If you just look, like, dumb. Like, if you look like you don't know anything, then I'm in.
Right.
If you look stupid, like, I don't like your design.
Right.
Vanillux.
Because I will say, they look... Like, they don't know a damn thing.
They don't even suspect anything. That's how dumb they are.
I don't know. It's weird, because I love them. I love that whole line of Pokemon. I just don't like the stupid flower. I want to. I think it's his feet that throw me off. He just has feet.
They're not
designed into anything. They just put feet at the bottom of a flower.
Look, originally, it was a Mario bad guy, and they sent it out... They traded it out.
I accept your terms, and now I kind of like it a little more. So we're getting there, Subfloro. We're going to do it. I just need to think of a name so I can be attached to you. So let's go to the mansion, because weird stuff happens in here, too.
Okay.
So the Pokemon Mansion is a burned-down, abandoned four-story mansion that was once home to a quote-unquote famous Pokemon researcher. It is full of many locked doors that can be switched open and closed with switches that are hidden in Mewtwo statues peppered throughout the place.
Which is a weird thing.
Yep, it's implied that the journal entries and then therefore the owner of this mansion was Mr. Fuji.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means? Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Let's get there. So there are journal entries that talk about the discovery and capture, and I use capture... Not in the Pokemon sense, but in the, like, they trapped
the
it.
The poaching sense.
Yeah, sense.
They didn't, like, rip its tail off or anything, but, like, they definitely, like, got it.
Yeah. They, like, threw a net over it and chained it up.
And this one didn't know teleport, I guess.
It being Mew. So the journal entries are the discovery, capture, and cloning process of Mew, and they talk about Mewtwo and how it's, like, too powerful, they can't contain it anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that's why the mansion burned down, is because Mewtwo bust out of it.
Yeah, he was mad as heck. He wasn't going to take it anymore.
At the end of the mansion is a secret key that unlocks the gym. That was placed there as like a test by the gym leader we'll talk about.
Okay.
So this is implying that Mr. Fuji is the researcher who cloned Mew and created Mewtwo.
Yeah, that's what our email was about. But as I read it, I'm pretty sure I read it when it came up. The gist of it is that it's heavily implied that Mr. Fuji is this researcher who had Mew cloned and unleashed the most powerful bad dude in the game.
He done hecked up.
He hecked up bad.
In the anime, I think Team Rocket did it. I'm pretty sure Giovanni and Team Rocket created Mewtwo. I think that's what the whole first movie is about.
Okay.
I like this better, because you meet Mr. Fuji, and he's like, I take care of orphaned Pokemon.
Right, he has this air of, like, I did bad once, he's and like, I have to repent.
I'm full of nothing but regret, yeah. And I need to repent for my sins.
He doesn't even own any Pokemon.
No. Like, he just takes care of orphaned ones. He doesn't, like, capture them or anything.
No.
He just takes them in, lets them roam free.
That's crazy. Right? Like, that's crazy. If you connect all the dots, and there's other stuff in here, like... Like, do you want to talk about maybe the not-so-successful cloning experiments? Or do you want to save it?
We can. Any listeners that keep a watchful eye on our personal Twitters have seen the spoiler, the little teaser that we put out. So we can talk about it now, all I think. Right. No, let's save that for the spotlight, because I have it as part of the spotlight.
Okay, all right, cool.
Yeah, so we'll save it for that.
But yeah, it's crazy that, like, that innocuous dude in, like, Sad Town...
Yeah.
The saddest dude in Sad Town is like, oh, what it did was I captured the most beautiful Pokemon, and then I tried to clone it forcefully against its will.
Yeah, it was just so happy and bubbly and trying to be my friend, so I just grabbed that sucker and ripped its hair out and made a clone of it.
We tased the hell out of it and threw it in a box, and then we just jabbed needles into it until we made this weird, basically deformed murder version of it. Yay!
Shannon, I'm so sorry you had to hear that. All right, let's go back to the mansion. The trainer's inside. There are six in Gen 3. There are seven.
Okay.
There's three burglars, three scientists, and in Gen 3, the extra one is just a youngster. I don't know what he's doing in there.
That's Angus McDonald, boy detective, and
he's just a little boy. Yeah, he's just a little boy exploring.
He's gonna figure out this mystery one way or the other.
They range from levels 29 to 38. For Pokemon, throughout the whole mansion, you can get Rattata, Raticate, Vulpix, Growlithe, Ponyta, Grimer, Muk, Koffing, or Weezing. On the third floor, Magmar comes in, and then on the basement one floor, which I think you have to fall onto from above, Magmar and Ditto are there.
Magmar are some of my, I don't want to say least favorite.
I don't love Magmar.
I don't love them because they look like a tumor duck.
They're very weird. They're one of the first, like, that's a very weird Pokemon you made.
It creeps me off.
Yeah. Gen 1 has Magmar, Mr. Mime, and Jinx in it.
Yeah. And also, like every Electabuzz is also pretty scary in different ways.
Yeah, it's not like a creepy Pokemon. Yeah,
he looks threatening, though.
Yeah, that dude will beat you up.
He's the grizzly bear.
He will take your lunch money.
Of Kanto, yeah.
So that's it for places, except for the gym.
All right, you want to head in? We got a key.
Let's talk about, we're surrounded by ocean, so let's talk real quick about the wild Pokemon we can get.
Okay.
And then we'll use our key to, our small key, which will break in the lock of this door.
As is video game tradition.
Or is this a boss key? I don't know. It's a secret.
Who knows? To everyone.
Anyway, if you fish in the ocean, you can get in Gen 1 Magikarp, Poliwag, Goldeen, Tentacool, Shellder, Horsea, or Staryu.
Okay.
In Gen 2, you can also get Krabby, Kingler, or Corsola by fishing, or you can surf for the Tentacool / Tentacruel. In Gen 3, they add Gyarados, Seadra, Slowpoke, Slowbro, and Psyduck to your fishing. And in Gen 4, they add Tentacruel, Chinchou, and Lantern to fishing. So those are all the Pokemon that surround this weird little island.
They just kind of gravitate here. That's a lot. Because I feel like on all the routes surrounding it, it's like Tentacruel if you're unlucky.
In Red and Blue and the remakes, Fire Red and Leaf Green, the only Pokemon you can encounter by surfing are Tentacool and Tentacruel. That's to sum up Gen 1, that's a weird thing that Pokemon did.
Yes. They didn't know any better.
No, it was the first try. All right, let's talk about the gym. We got our secret key. We're not going to kick this door in. We're going to unlock it and open it gently. And inside is a long kind of sideways S hallway.
Okay.
That winds through, and it's segmented by six locked doors.
Okay, how do I unlock these doors?
To unlock these doors, you must answer a Pokemon trivia question correctly.
Oh, boy.
And if you get it
wrong... Do you have them all written down?
I did not write them down.
Okay, I was going to say, let's see if I can get through this, but...
One of them was like, I think the last one is, TM28 contains the move Tombstoney. True or false?
False.
That's false. That's not even a Pokemon
Tombstoney.
Move. And I think one of them is like, Caterpie evolves 3 times. Which is false.
False. It evolves twice.
They're all like weird questions like that. So if you answer incorrectly, you are forced to battle against the trainer that is in that section of hallway or room, like whatever you
want
to call it.
So if you want all that good esp, you gotta throw the game.
You can also just talk to the trainer and battle them that way.
Okay.
So you can either take the quiz to skip the trainers and keep your Pokemon healthy for the gym leader.
Right.
Which also... You can just leave.
You leave and come back and heal, like I do.
Because you won't have to refight the trainers, and I think the doors stay open. So
plus, you'll know the answers anyway.
And then you know the answers anyway. Yeah. They don't change. In Generation 2 and 4, the gym is relocated to the Seafoam Islands. It's just a single cave. In Gen 2, it's literally just an empty room with one dude in it. He's just sad. It's a very sad time. But in Gen 4, it's an actual gym. There's a weird like floor puzzle, and there's junior trainers in there.
Yeah.
But that Gen 2 one is just like, I think the saddest moment.
In the game?
In Pokemon?
In Pokemon, probably?
Like, I know Team Flare tried to wipe out the planet's population.
That's not sad, that's maniacal. That's a James Bond villain.
That's too far.
Yeah.
I can't feel anything about that because it's too ridiculous.
That's literally one spaceship away from the plot of Moonraker.
This dude's house was demolished by an erupting volcano and he has nowhere to go but this empty cave.
That's so sad. And it's just... He's the only one left from the whole island.
Yep. You
know what would have been real cool? If he went up to Lavender Town, hung out with Mr. Fuji.
Hung out with Mr. Fuji. We'll talk about that.
They both know loss.
We will talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. So when you win the gym battle, you get the Volcano Badge, which allows the use of Waterfall outside of battle in Fire Red and Leaf Green, and it raises the special stat or special stats of your Pokemon.
Okay.
Depending on what game you get it in.
Right.
For a TM reward, in Generations 1 and 3, you get TM38, which contains Fire Blast, and in Gen 4, he gives you TM50, which contains the move Overheat.
Cool. What's Overheat do?
It's a strong, very, like, 150 base power.
Oh, dang.
Special fire move, but when you use it, it sharply drops your special attack. So it's like a desperation.
Okay. You get one good use out of it.
You get one good shot out of it, yeah. Do you want to talk about the gym leader? We've mentioned him vaguely.
Yeah, let's talk about this dude.
The gym leader on Cinnabar Island is Blaine, the hot-headed quizmaster.
Well,
that's his shtick.
This guy never came off as hot-headed to me.
No, he's kind of eccentric.
Yeah, he's kind of E-Gads from Luigi's Mansion.
A little bit. Maybe not hot-headed.
He's B-Gads. He's Blaine Gads here.
Blaine Gads. Oh, you might know my brother E.
It's Eggbar.
Big E Gads. He was once lost in an icy mountain and led out by the legendary bird Moltres, which is what inspired him to train the fire-type Pokemon.
Okay. What icy mountain?
Doesn't say. I'm going to assume Seafoam Islands.
Okay.
Because that's like, it's where he goes when his house is wrecked. So.
But Articuno lives there. We talked about that.
And I don't know. Articuno leads people out of dangerous situations. Look, I don't know. I didn't write the lore.
Could it be Mount Silver?
It could be Mount Silver.
It is icy up there.
It does snow up there.
It does. So.
Or it could be in another region.
And that's pretty close to Victory Road?
It is.
So maybe.
It's like adjacent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it. Hey, Pokemon, we just fixed it for you. You're welcome.
I'm going to say it was Mount Silver, and then Red caught Moltres, which is why he got lost in Mount Silver and died, is because Moltres was not there to help.
Yeah.
It's Red.
Moltres just sitting in a Pokeball.
You messed up, man.
In a box somewhere. At Bill's house or whatever.
He can sense it. He's like, they need my help, but I'm cramped in this ball.
I don't know why he was Seinfeld.
I don't either. Blaine is a native of Cinnabar Island. He was there when the lab was built and is good friends with Mr. Fuji.
Why would they mention that if Mr. Fuji wasn't the dude who built the place?
I might have embellished good friends. The note that I read, the information I could get was on good terms with, but I took that to mean they're friends.
They know each other. Yeah. They worked together.
So maybe Blaine had a hand in the
maybe
too, and that's why he's kind of crazy old man now. In Heart Gold and Soul Silver, after you beat him, he appears on the remnants of Cinnabar Island, I guess.
Right.
All day, every Tuesday, where you could talk to him and get his phone number.
Just walking around all sad and alone?
Every Tuesday, he just goes and remembers, I guess.
It was a Tuesday when everything I knew blew up and everyone died.
Does that mean it evolved on or erupted on a Tuesday?
It had to be.
Blaine is so sad.
Oh, sad old Gramp.
It makes me so sad.
I'm sorry, old Gramp.
After you get his phone number, you can call him on Tuesday afternoons and arrange a rematch. Let's talk about his Pokemon.
Okay. How do you get his number? You just go up and say hi?
Yep, just go visit him.
Here's my number. Please
go visit him while he's crying on a rock in the ocean every Tuesday. And he'll be like, here's my phone number. I just want friends again.
No one talks about
it. Everyone was lost when the volcano erupted.
This is the saddest.
Except for Mr. Fuji, but he can't look at Blaine anymore after Mewtwo happened, I guess. So he had to move as far away as he could from Cinnabar Island.
Yes.
What is going on in this game?
This is a very we need to put together some sort of like what's really going on with Pokemon.
Oh, anyway, in his Red and Blue, Fire Red and Leaf Green gym battle, he has a level 42 Growlithe, a level 40 Ponyta, 42 Rapidash, and 47 Arcanine.
Okay, he doubled up on both of those.
Yep.
I don't like that.
In yellow, he has a 48 Ninetales, 50 Rapidash, and 54 Arcanine. So he leveled out.
Much better.
Less Pokemon, but they're stronger and more varied.
Yes.
In Gold and Silver, he has a level 45 Magcargo, a level 45 Magmar, and a level 50 Rapidash.
Okay.
And in Heart Gold and Soul Silver, he has a 54 Magcargo, a 54 Magmar, and a 59 Rapidash. And then in his rematch, he has his full team of a level 54 Torkoal, 57 Camerupt, 60 Rapidash, a 58 Magcargo, a 54 Houndoom, and 62 Magmortar.
That is a stacked team.
That's a pretty good team.
Torkoal and Camerupt are not the same, right?
No, Torkoal is a turtle, like a tortoise.
You're right.
And Camerupt is a camel.
Oh, I knew that part.
But with volcanoes on his back.
Sure, sure, sure.
Because he's a Pokemon.
Don't sit on this camel.
I would not recommend it.
No.
Also, never touch a Magcargo because they're as hot as the sun.
They'll just burn your whole arm off immediately.
Don't even come close to one.
No, like, in fact, get rid of them all. They're endangering the world.
They should not be able to exist on the Earth. They're too hot.
That's why it's definitely... It's like touching like an oven or like a stove, you know, when you have it on high. It's very hot. You will burn yourself. But like, that's not the sun, 10-year-old who wrote this entry. You idiot.
No, he would burn through the planet.
Yeah.
There would just be holes all the way through the Earth wherever a Magcargo was.
A Magby evolves, and then it's just whoosh, gone.
The whole core of the Earth is just all the Magcargo that
fell down.
That melted through.
Also, it would burn the atmosphere, and we'd all be dead.
Yep. You could feel that thing. I think from anywhere on the planet.
Anywhere on the planet. Because you'd be dead. Because the atmosphere would have caught on fire.
Okay. Now that we're just like, we're so hot.
Yeah.
Let's take a swim back home.
Okay.
Let's go up.
Before we do, can we talk about that one beach real quick?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you remember the old drunk man?
Yeah.
Right?
Drunky.
So let's say we talk to him and he shows us how to catch a Weedle, and then we fly down here to Cinnabar Island and we want to surf on the beach a little bit.
Yeah. Let's say we want to do that. Let's do that.
Don't. No, don't.
Why not?
Because I don't know how to describe this in terms of if this was a real world, but you'll mess everything up. You will tear the fabric of space and time itself.
So imagine you're surfing down or you're just walking through the surf on a beach, right? But you just flew here, and you talked to an old man first, and then flew here, and like out of the water pops this like rectangular-looking thing made of pieces of animals.
Yep. Just like random little cutouts.
And then from then on, everything is destroyed around you. Do not catch it. Don't catch it.
Don't ever catch it. It'll mess up your computer.
That's how you get missing.
It's a virus. If you put it in the PC, it gets all screwed up.
It's a world virus.
It's a virus for the world. Don't ever do that. Unless you want infinite of the item in the sixth slot of your bag, then fight one, but don't catch it. I don't recommend catching it.
No. And that... Even that's going to do a number on your game. I think
you'll be fine. Like, inside your bag will look a little weird.
And doesn't it do something to the Hall of Fame, too? Is that only if
that's
you catch it?
That's only if you catch it.
Okay.
But
all your favorite Pokemon.
Everyone's just a jumbled mess now.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You did it.
Your health bar wraps around the screen 4 times. You did it. Good job. All right. So we're going to go swimming on Route 21 now to cool off after this hot, hot battle.
Sounds good to me.
We're going to lightning round this one route. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Route 21 is a long vertical sea route that runs between Pallet and Cinnabar, has a lot of rocks and some sand on it. There's also a lot of fishermen and swimmers hanging out. There is the one grassy patch right up next to Pallet Town on the north. So in Gen 1, you can get in that grass Pidgey, Pidgeotto, Rattata, Raticate, or Tangela. From surfing in the water, you can get Tentacool. And from fishing, you can get Magikarp, Poliwag, Goldeen, Tentacool, Tentacruel, Shellder, Horsey, and Staryu. In Gen 2, in the grass... They add Mr. Mime.
Ugh.
Surfing now, you can also get Tentacruel, and fishing can get Krabby, Kingler, and Corsola. In Gen 3, they added Gyarados, Psyduck, and Slowpoke to fishing. In Gen 4, also in Gen 3, weird thing about that grass patch, only Tangela is in it. They got rid of all the other ones.
Okay.
Gen 4, they add Chinchou and Lantern to fishing. There you can headbutt some trees to get Tangela, Wurmple, Hoot Hoot, Spinarak, or Ledyba.
Sure.
You can do the Hoenn sound to get Linoon and Whismur, and you can do the Sinnoh sound to get Bidoof and Buizel. That is Route 21. We are back home. There's only one place to go.
One place left.
And that is west of Viridian City. I don't remember what route that is. I want to say
22.
It's like, that is 22?
Yeah. Or 23.
Or 23. I think it's 22. I don't know. Because the one up that leads up to Bill's house is like... 20-something.
That might be 23, and this is 22 then.
Okay. So that's where we're headed next time.
That's next time. But first, unless you have anything else to say.
Hug your mom. You're back home. She deserves it.
She does.
She misses you.
Who's that Pokemon?
It's Ditto! Jake's son Ditto.
My son.
Pokemon.
My sweet baby boy.
Number 132. It is the transform Pokemon.
Yeah, he is. It is. It's genderless. It's a blob.
What was the category that was bad that you wanted to talk about.
Oh, it's Vikavolt. It's like the Electabike Pokemon or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I read his.
I don't think so. It's definitely like the Elect and then another word immediately. Right. And it's very stupid.
Yeah. I'll have to go through and see if I could pull out some real weird Pokemon categories. Anyway, Ditto is 1 foot tall, weighs 8.8 pounds.
That's significant, right?
The weight is.
The weight is significant.
The weight is significant.
Keep it in mind.
It normally has the Limber ability, which prevents paralysis, but its hidden ability is Imposter, which lets it transform immediately when entering battle instead of having to waste a turn to use a move.
What a good move. What a good ability that would be to have.
That's the perfect ability for Ditto.
Yeah.
Who's a good Pokemon. He's a good boy.
He is a good boy.
His Pokedex. Are you ready?
It's a good it.
To learn about Ditto.
I'm ready to learn about this weird goop Pokemon that I love.
As a form of defense, it can rearrange the cells in its body to become a nearly exact duplicate of an enemy, but it can also transform into just about anything and can often be found taking the form of a rock when sleeping. If it attempts to make a transformation from its memory alone, it tends to get the details wrong. If a transformed Ditto is made to laugh, it will revert back to its original shape, unable to maintain its new form.
So like it could just be like an umbrella or a chair.
As long as you can show it to it.
Right.
Because if it tries to remember, it'll be like an umbrella, but...
with fingers.
Like, yeah, the handle will be an arm or something.
Grouch.
It'll be like, what? With his dumb Ditto face in the middle of an umbrella.
Oh, I love that. I know it's only the one. I know it's only the one that had that can't...
It is and it isn't. It seems to have become...
the Ditto trait?
The new Ditto trait. It was in the anime just Duplica's Ditto that could not transform his face.
Yeah.
But in all of the Ditto cards and Ditto merchandise, like they all just have, they're that Pokemon, but with a Ditto face.
Yeah. I kind of love that.
Yeah.
Unless they're all based on this one Ditto.
I'm going to skip. I have this written under trivia, but let's talk about it now.
Okay.
Ditto shares many of its traits with a certain other Pokemon you guys might know as Mew.
Yeah.
Okay. It's pinkish natural color, which I am kind of like it's purple.
It's purple, but I feel like if you melted down a Mew, it would...
Yeah, I feel like if you add heat to that color, you get purple. Pink a little wrong, it would be purple.
Well, it's pink, but it's also all the inside stuff. Like, it's gross. It's very gross. It just turns purple.
Both their shiny forms are blue. They both can use the move transform. They both weigh 8.8 pounds. And all this stuff, along with its appearance in the Pokemon Mansion, has caused fans to believe that Ditto is a failed attempt... of cloning Mew.
And that means that they didn't try one and were like, well, here's a Ditto, oops, because you can catch Ditto.
They tried enough for it to just be a species.
Yeah. Or.
Like that you can just find.
Or they did it once and they were like, that's not how it is. And it was like, whoop, now I'm two Pokemon.
I just keep making more Dittos.
Yeah. Oh, I ate this chair and now I have enough matter to make a second Ditto.
Maybe the Dittos burned down the mansion.
How?
I don't know. They just multiplied.
They transformed into a duck tumor, a tumor duck, and they...
Yeah, they saw Magmar, and they were like, oh, I can't control this fire. And then
everything's burning.
How did the Magmar... How did the Pokemon get in that mansion?
Well, see, that's the weird thing about Pokemon is Pokemon of certain types are attracted to that sort of thing, right?
Right, but Magmar aren't anywhere else in Kanto, anyway. They're just in this old house.
Maybe they just, like, got dropped off.
Did Mr. Fuji have some, and they just, like...
Maybe.
They made more?
Maybe they're from the volcano under the place.
I accept your terms.
And they just, like, they just found their way out. And then, like, hey, this is burnt down place. Let's just live here.
And coughing and muck, just, like, because it's run down and polluted. Yeah. Now, so they're just like, yeah, it's a good place to hang out,
they
man.
Just, like... travel to gross places.
And then Ditto are like, they failed, and here I am.
I can't stop replicating. Oops.
Well, now I'm thinking about coughing with a Ditto face.
I love it.
Let's talk about the rest of this trivia.
Okay.
Some of it is weird. I tried to stick to, like, weird stuff and not just, like, its stats are this.
Right. All of its stats are half minus two.
Of Mews, of yeah. Mews. That's another thing they have in common that it looks like I didn't write down, is that they have even stats across the board.
It's 48% of a Mew is Ditto.
Which, in Gen 1, Mew was the only Pokemon, and Ditto were the only Pokemon that had even stats.
Yeah.
Now it's like every generation's special event Pokemon has the even 100 that Mew has. And Ditto's an even 48, so not quite half.
Yeah.
This one's a little statty, but it's also very interesting. Ditto is the only Pokemon with a capture rate of 35, And capture rates range, I think, from 1 to 255. So your 255s are like your Rattatas and stuff.
Okay.
Which makes it harder to catch than Xerneas and Yveltal, which have both have 45, but slightly easier to catch than Chansey, who has 30. There's obviously more Pokemon with those numbers, but I wasn't going to write them all down.
That's weird that two legendaries are easier to catch than just a Chansey.
The trick is, in every game before Gen 5, Ditto would copy the capture rate of whatever it transformed into. So if you threw a Caterpie out and it transformed into Caterpie, its capture Super rate easy. Is now 255. You could throw a Pokeball at that thing and get it.
Yeah.
That's how I caught my Ditto in my blue version.
Yeah.
Ditto and Manaphy are the only Pokemon that can breed but cannot be obtained through breeding. You can breed Manaphy, but you just get Fionn. Fionn?
Right. Iphone. Manaphy's not a legendary, right?
It's like a Mew kind of special base
that's
100.
That's weird that it has an evolution then.
It makes babies, but those babies don't evolve. They're their own separate Pokemon.
Really?
Yeah.
We got to talk about that dude someday. That's very interesting.
We will.
Put him on the list.
In the game Pokemon Rumble, Ditto is the only Pokemon that can use Struggle, as Transform does not exist in the game, and PP also does not exist. So other Pokemon can't run out of moves. So Ditto, since the only move it knows is Transform, but it can't learn Transform, can only Struggle.
Oh.
He gets shafted in a lot of the spinoffs. Because also in the Mystery Dungeon series, Transform only has one PP, but it doesn't copy moves, so Ditto can only transform and then struggle.
That sucks. Why did you do that to my son?
How dare... Don't talk to me or my son or again.
My son ever again. Pokemon spinoffs, how dare you?
This is really cool. I kind of wish they kept this, but it was only in Gen 2. A transformed Ditto will retain its original purple or blue if it's shiny color palette. So it'll be the other Pokemon, but Ditto colored. I think that's a neat feature.
So, like, it'll be like an Eevee.
Yeah.
But purple and...
But it would have the same... It would have that purple color palette applied to it.
I like that a lot.
I think that's really cool. I don't know why they only did it once. All it does is move its cells around.
Right.
So it would take the form, but it necessarily would not take...
The colors or the other attributes. Yeah.
Here's some weird Gen 1 stuff. In Gen 1, any Pokemon that has used Transform is recognized as a Ditto in its new form. Does that make sense?
So they're like, that's a Ditto Xanatu or whatever.
So this means that if you capture a Pokemon that has used Transform through glitches or hacking, like a Mew or any glitch Pokemon that has Transform, if you catch that Pokemon or a Pokemon that transformed via using Mirror Move in a battle, that would result in you capturing a Ditto and not the original Pokemon. Because when it is transformed, the game says that's a Ditto.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. So that way you can capture it, right? Am I thinking this backwards?
If I battled a Mew.
Right.
And that Mew transformed into like my Squirtle that I had out.
Okay.
And I caught that Mew that was...
You would have a Ditto.
I would catch a Ditto.
Okay. That stinks.
Thankfully, that's not an issue because you normally can't just encounter Mew.
Right.
And when you do through the glitch, it only knows Pound, I think. I don't think it knows Transform. So for its origin, in an interview with, I guess Best Buy had some video game magazine in the 90s or something.
Sure.
I don't know. In an interview with, I'm probably going to say these names wrong, and I really should know them, Junichi Matsuda and Ken Sugimori revealed that Ditto was originally based on the smiley face.
Okay.
Do you know that? It's like some Japanese character that a lot of the kids use now to be a smiley face. It's like the two dashes in the line.
Yeah.
Its original face looks almost exactly like that.
Okay.
Before it like just planed out.
Right.
And just got regular.
Yeah. Which still looks smile. It's literally two dots in a line, but it looks smiling to me. Maybe that's it because I like it.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he's upset. He's content.
Yeah.
It also bears a resemblance to an amiibo. Nope. Amoeba. Let me say that again. It's an amiibo.
Which amiibo?
It depends which one you show it.
Of course.
I meant amoeba. Also, it's a blob.
It is a blob. It is an amoeba boy. And it is so stupid.
Its name means exactly what it is. It's just the slang for me too or the same.
Yeah.
But its Japanese name is Metamon, which is a combination of metamorph, like metamorphosis, and monster. That's
makes
it.
A lot of sense, too.
That's all I got for Ditto.
What would you name one?
I don't know.
I have a name for it in mind, but I'm not going to say it, just in case. I don't want to ruin it here.
Okay.
In case I do get one in World Tour United.
Right. That makes sense. I don't really have a name for it.
Amoeba Boy. Meebs.
Meebs.
Call him Meebs.
Meeb Moop.
Meeb Moop. Meeb Moop. That's it. Ditto.
That's the end of my notes.
So let's go rate some names. Okay, Josh, we got a couple in the email.
Okay.
And we have, I think we are at the point in our illustrious career where we got to start setting some rules for nicknames.
We do. If you're going to tweet them at us.
I thought of a hashtag.
Okay.
Hashtag them PWT rate. R-A-T-E.
Okay.
Okay. No one else is using that.
Okay,
unless
good.
Unless someone is for weird reasons.
Here's the problem. We get mentioned a lot.
We get mentioned a lot. It's hard to find nicknames even if we search for it. And also, like, we do this every 2 weeks and we see it 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And we're like, we'll get to that next time.
So
we will plumb forget.
If you have sent us a name that we did not rate, resend it with the hashtag PWT rate or rates.
Rate.
One rate.
One rate.
We're going to give it one rate.
Yeah. We,
hashtag PWT rate, and we will rate it because we'll be able to find it this time.
Yes. Or you can email us. Make sure you include the word nickname, all one word.
In the subject.
Or nicknames, either is fine. But put it in the subject. Please, thank you.
So we're not doing any from Twitter today.
No.
Because I'm not going
to
dig through.
Because we don't have the time to dig through it. Yeah. So we got a bunch from Gavin, and we got a bunch a couple from Brant. So we're going to do like one or two from each, okay?
All right.
So first up is Gavin. I think you'll like this one.
All right.
Froki Doki, the Greninja.
I have a Greninja named Dokes for probably a very similar reason.
He's Froki Dokes.
I do like that. I'm going to ultra ball that one because like great minds and all that.
I'm going to give it a great ball. I think it's pretty great. I guess I'll jump back and forth because it's not hard to do. So let's go with a Typhlosion, a male Typhlosion called Vulcan, who is the Roman god of fire and volcanoes.
That's awesome.
That's a good name.
Oh, am I going to do it this early?
Are you throwing it this early?
I'm gonna give that one a Master Ball.
Nice. I'm going to give that one an Ultra Ball. I very much like that. And again,
it's so weird because Typhlosion's not an animal.
No.
Not like a real animal, but like it's obviously has animal traits, but it's also a volcano.
Yeah, kind of a volcano. All right. So next up is, I don't know if I can pronounce this correctly. Oh,
what's
the slow poke.
Oh,
there's a bunch of dots. So there's a big space before it.
Oh, okay. Oh, like, oh. Like
yeah.
It took him a minute to figure it out. Okay, yeah. I get it. Oh, I like that one.
The slow poke.
I'm
going to give that my Master Ball.
Okay, I'll give that an Ultra Ball. I like that one a lot. It's cute.
It is. Then for another one from Brant, a shiny Metagross. I don't know what that looks like.
It's silver with a gold X on it. You know what a Metagross looks like?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's silver, but the X on its face is gold.
Okay. Well, I like that.
It's a really good look. It's one of the good shinies.
Yeah. It's not just like, here's a snotty green one or a pea yellow
this
one.
This one's teal.
But a shiny Metagross called Pluto. I'm going to give that a Premier Ball. Because I don't see how the two connect.
Yeah, I don't know why it's called that.
If I had some context, I would rate it differently. But off the...
Because Sailor Pluto is like purple, right?
Purple, I think.
Yeah, so that's the only place I'm going.
The only Pluto... like, and Pluto, the planet, is coded purple in my head for whatever reason. Probably because that's what color it is in like astronomy books
right.
from 1997.
It's beige now that we have like actual photos
of it. Now that we've seen it, yeah.
I'll also give that a Premier Ball.
Okay.
Unless it's like the god of the underworld. But even then, that doesn't fit Metagross for me.
I don't know anything. I'm going based exclusively off of look and the name.
Yeah.
All right. So then we will end on, let's just go with the first one on the list. Ponage, P4WNAGE, the shiny Aegislash. That's another one from Gavin.
I'll give it a great ball. I'm not a fan of that internet speak, though.
I don't love it.
It's getting a great ball because it's also a play on Honedge.
Right. I guess I will also give it a great ball. What a great ball it was.
This ball, this is great.
This is great. And that's all we're going to do for today. So again, if you send them in on Twitter, make sure you hashtag it PWTRate so we can find it easily. And if you have sent it in and we haven't talked about it, we forgot. Please send it in again.
Yeah.
Also, because we were looking at a couple and I was like, I think we did that, but I genuinely can't remember.
Right. So if we did not rate you, resend it with the hashtag. Yes. We will make sure we do.
We'll make sure we get it on the next one when we go to Victory Road. So now, names have been rated. Got a little bit of fan stuff.
I've got one tweet here.
So let's get into that.
All right, Jake, how familiar are you with Pokemon Fusion?
Pokemon Fusion,
this weird
the website?
It's like this weird art subculture.
Okay, that yes, I love it.
Okay. Dowd sent us a tweet that reads, "My friend sent me this Caterseal, and I'd really like to hear your reaction to it on the next episode."
Oh, boy, I think I saw this. I'm sure I saw it. Let me see it again real quick, though.
I'll show you. My gut reaction is this is the best Pokemon.
Well, he's sticking his dumb little tongue out.
Yeah, it's a Caterpie, but it's white like a seal.
It has a seal face.
But it keeps all the yellow bits. The antenna on its head has been reduced into just two like little yellow nubs, and it has a seal face with its dumb tongue sticking out.
I like it. I really like Pokemon Fusion because I feel like that's the generation 9. That's when Pokemon right. Please and Thank You. Like that's the hook for that. Is like, we're not doing any new ones, but in fact there's an infinite possibility of new ones. Well, within egg groups, because I feel like that would right. make egg groups matter more than they do now.
Yeah.
You know, because now it's like, hey, egg groups or Ditto. No one uses egg groups.
Pokemon does a lot of weird stuff like egg groups.
They need an overhaul. We've talked about that.
Yeah. So my reaction to this, Dow, is, aww.
mine is like, would I touch it?
I would cuddle this dude. This dude could sleep on my chest.
I would tickle its belly. I would not let it sleep in my bed.
That's fair. I love him.
I would tickle that belly, though. If anyone else has any Pokemon fusions that they've found that are really cool, send them in, because I really like those. There's also a website. I think it might be just PokemonFusion.com. I'm not 100% sure. But basically, you select two, and it takes the sprites and merges them. Have you ever seen that?
Sort of. It takes the face of the first one and puts it on the second one.
The face and the colors of the first one. But some of them work really well.
Some of them are. Some of them are some not. Don't. Not good.
No.
Oh, man. You should try fusing a Ditto with a Gyarados on that site so you can get your Gyarados with a Ditto face.
I think I have. It's probably pretty awesome.
All right, I've gone down about as far as I care to through our notifications here, so I think that's going to do it. They're starting to set up fireworks outside, so we should start wrapping up.
Okay, so before we get out of the fan interactions, though, we do have one very important thing.
Also, before you jump to that, Dowd, I just got to your nickname. We're going to get it next time.
Okay, so we have a couple new patrons.
We do.
Okay, so last I remember was Annie and Jonathan. Did we talk about them on this podcast? We have to.
We did on this one.
Okay. So, first up is Jonathan Riley.
Thank you, Riley. Very much appreciated.
Yeah, super, super appreciated. Also, there's some fireworks going on, like you just said. So, like, that's like celebration.
So far, I think we've got our pauses down, but who knows when they might go off.
Who knows? Next up is James Fletcher.
Thanks, James.
And finally, AJ Scherer.
Thanks, AJ.
Thank you guys so much for supporting this show and this whole network.
And all shows.
And all shows. All our shows.
All our shows.
And just us in general. Right. It really means a lot to us.
It does. Every time that number goes up, I just get a little happier.
It's like, woo, yeah. I'm eating name brand food this month.
Well, I just bought Up and Up toothbrushes, but...
Right, but are they really any different than Colgate?
No, it was like... 4 toothbrushes for $4.
Right, yeah.
I was going to say no to that.
Toothbrushes for a while. And that's all we got for fan interactions this week.
We're done because Jake threw his phone.
I threw my phone at the floor. I'm so excited.
One more quick fan interaction. We met Ross Butler.
We did. Oh, I totally. How did we forget that? We met Ross.
He's really cool, and his dog is adorable and rides his shoulder treble style.
Both of his dogs are very adorable. You didn't get to meet Scooter.
I didn't.
Who I made sure to tell him and his wife that Scooter is also my little brother's name. It's Scoot.
Right.
I mean, it's Scott.
It's Scott.
But I have never called him Scott unless he was in trouble. But yeah, Scooter's also is a yellow lab who's like this old man dog. He's very cute and shedded like a monster. So I can relate to that. Because I also shed quite a bit. then there's Bella, who is this tiny little adorable one that just sat on his shoulder the whole time.
The whole time. It was so
cute. Another very tall man. All of our all of our listeners.
We have a target demographic we were not aware of.
Yeah, because Alan is also, I guess, a giant. He's 6'8", according to him.
Holy crap, what?
Right?
They don't make people that big. No. That's his build height. That's his shoot height.
And then I guess Hoops is also super tall, too. So, like, if anyone else is super tall, let us know so we can get you all in one place.
I'm 5'10", and I'm like, I can reach the top shelf.
I'm 5'4". I'm a little boy, and I can't reach...
6'8"? Are you kidding?
He's a foot and a quarter taller than me. A foot and a third taller than me. That's insanity. But yeah, that's... but anyway, Ross, it was great meeting you. I told him that next time he's around the area, that he needs to come in a little earlier so we can hang out a little longer, plan something.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that because it was real good meeting him. And that's it for fan interactions.
Yeah.
Ending on an IRL one.
And the podcast.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Pokemon World Tour. If you want to get in contact with us, you can do that in two places. That's it. Just two. On Twitter, at @PWTPodcast, or via email, PWTPodcast@gmail.com.
Streamlining.
Just, yeah. Tumblr and Facebook are ghost towns.
Yeah, we're cutting the dead weight.
Yeah. I have an idea for Facebook, but I don't want to do any of the work that surrounds it yet. So, like, maybe later down the line.
Maybe we'll make that a goal. If we get to $5,000, we'll hire a social media manager.
Yeah. That'll be me. I can do that stuff. If I got that kind of time on my hands, I'll totally do that.
If we get to $5,000, yeah. Oh boy.
What's that even
I
mean?
Might buy a house.
Right? Quit my job twice.
And we're on iTunes. If you want to pop over there, leave us a rating and review. Tell your friends to go over there and do the same and just like help us out. Do some cool stuff.
Yeah, let other people know about us. So the more positive reviews we have, positive ratings... And reviews we have.
Do reviews count more than just a rating? Or is it just like
I feel like to a human being,
to a human being, yes. But to the algorithm, it just sees it as a rating with a text attachment, right?
I guess. I have no idea. I
don't know how any of that works.
I don't know.
Leave a review if you can, because we like to read them.
Yeah, we didn't check them, so we might have some new ones. We'll get those next time. We'll get those with the Victory Road episode. We already talked about Patreon. That's patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. If you want to become a patron, there's a lot of cool tiers. You get a lot of cool stuff. And we are getting back to doing the anime episodes. We kind of had to take a month off because of scheduling issues and vacations or whatever.
Well, I went on vacation and then kind of forgot about them.
I got very busy.
So...
And so I just didn't have time. We didn't have time to record another thing.
Yeah, we will get back into those.
You also get the spotlight episodes early, a month early. So when you hear this, I'm hoping tomorrow, Thursday, the whatever... that's when the spotlight episode 7th. That's when the spotlight episode will go up.
On Patreon.
On Patreon. But I'm not guaranteeing anything. First spotlight episode is already up in the feed because we used that in lieu of.
We used that as a vacation episode.
As a vacation episode. So you can go check that out to get a feel for what the new one sounds like.
For what to expect. The next one is Abra. I think we said that before, so it's not a secret. And that's a fun one.
It was a fun one.
Those guys are crazy.
They are kooks. So that's going to be a good time. That's. It for Patreon stuff. Patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh, in case you forgot.
Check it out. Also, tell your friends about that. Just tell your friends about everything that you like.
Yeah. Yeah. Just do that. Just tell your friends about the things you like. Because they might like it, too, if they're your friends. You got to have stuff in common, right? My little brother just started listening to this podcast, like, a month and a half ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't listen to any other podcast. So, like, maybe this could be the podcast. Maybe you got a friend who likes Pokemon, but doesn't necessarily like podcasts. This is kind of the perfect one to get him into because we're seasoned pros.
We are professionals.
Literally professionals. And like, we're kind of funny, I think.
I think we're pretty funny.
I think we're pretty funny. So maybe this is the thing that that burst that bubble that gets him into podcasts, or at least this specific podcast. Anyway,
I have such a weird relationship with podcasts in general.
I do too.
It's weird that I ended up here.
I feel the same way, but it makes sense if you take six big steps back.
Because there was a while where it was like, yes, and I listened to podcasts for like months, and I have not listened to one in probably twice as long as that spurt. Like, I just haven't listened to any new podcasts.
Well,
Paranoia Shop needs to come up with a new episode. Get me back into this stuff.
Look,
they take so long. It's like a yearly podcast.
The last two Mabim Bams were hot fire. I'm telling you. You walked by me and I was giggling today when I was filling the ball pit.
I walk by you giggling almost every day at work.
Because I listen to a lot of McElroy products and they're all very funny. But this today's just so good. Anyway, what else we got? Music. Our theme song is the Destiny Infinite off the OC Remix album, the EVEP. The song is by Darkshore. That's DarkeSword. And you can find him on Twitter at that same name.
The rest of our music is from the Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver Super Music Collection. That's available on iTunes along with most of the Pokemon soundtracks. So go check those out if you like the music. I've been toying around with the idea of making a playlist on my phone that's just called Fight Songs. And it's just all the battle themes from all the games.
Nice. Also, another just a real quick plug for the Pokemon World Tour United podcast. If you haven't checked that out yet, I think you should. Start with episode one because it's a running narrative. So, right. Like, if you just jump in with episode seven that went up last week.
Like, you'll have fun.
You'll have fun, but you'll be a little confused.
There'll be a loss of context.
Yeah. We call things, there's a lot of context goofs that you should check out. Plus, there's, like, story narrative that, like, you'll kind of not understand. But it's real fun. We're having a blast with it. We have had two guests so far.
Yep. So we have more on the way.
We have more on the way. It's a real fun time.
If you tweet with the hashtag PWTUnited, you can get your name on the show as a non-player character.
As an NPC. So that's it for us for today. Next week, episode 8 of World 2 United. Patrons, I'm ahead, so it should be up earlier than normal. I'm very excited. And 2 weeks from now, we're going to Victory Road.
Yeah.
And we're almost done with Kanto.
After the Pokemon League, I think we're going to do a couple
weirder
episodes.
Okay.
We might do another gym.
Okay, awesome.
I'll repost that poll. Just retweet the link to it so we can get more on that. I think Fairy was in the lead.
Okay.
So start mulling that over.
All right.
Maybe we'll do some other stuff.
Yeah, if you're a gym leader, the gym leader episodes, we're going to sit down and figure out how to make them work.
Right.
It'll be similar to the Let's Make a Gym episode, but more specific themes. And we should be starting on those pretty soon. So,
yeah.
All right. That's it. That's all we got. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. But until then,
smell you later.